Recently, this research experiment was done using technology, and it's starting to gain attention all over the world from places like England, Holland, Sweden, that are showing interest in this experiment done in a high school biology class by five freshman girls. So here's what they did. They took 400 seeds and they placed them in 12 trays, and six of those trays they put in different rooms from the other. They put them in rooms that had the same temperature, same lighting, same amount of water and sun and all that. But six of those trays were next to their Wi-Fi routers and the others weren't. And after 12 days, the results were clear. And the pictures are astounding with this article. As we researched this on technology, we found that the ones next to the router didn't grow at all. And even some were mutated or dead that did grow a little bit, and the others grew great and looked fantastic. So what we're going to be doing today is talking about technology.
Yeah, even these five researchers, they were saying they thought that they were experiencing difficulty concentrating in school. So if they had slept with their phones next to their head and sometimes experienced this difficulty. And so we are going to hear from students answering this question: how long could you go without your phone? And as they give us insight into the minds of students and their thoughts on technology.
I'm Jeff Eckert.
I'm Jason Brewer. And this is The Thought Factory.
The Thought Factory podcast is brought to you by Never the Same, cultivating students through biblical discipleship and spiritual disciplines using theology, community, and technology. Learn more at neverthesame.org.
Well, as always, we want to thank you for joining the Thought Factory podcast. We love having you here. We're so grateful for all of our listeners. We hope if you enjoy this podcast, you would take some time to give us a good review and leave a great comment. We'd love to hear from you. Over the last couple episodes, our last episode, we talked about issues in America as seen through the eyes of students. So if you didn't hear that one, we'd encourage you to go back if you need to catch up. And then a couple episodes before that, we got some great feedback, and I've had some great conversations with some people about students and their future. And now we've got graduation coming up as we record this. We're moving into that season in the lives of students. So those are episodes you might want to go back and check out. So also, you may want to go back to our season one series, and we did a 4-episode block on social media, and that would be a great companion, if you haven't heard that, to what we're going to talk about today in our topic.
Anytime that we are able to bring in a guest into our studio and interview them, it's always exciting for us. And we get to do that for our next episode next week, where we interview Chris McKenna, who is a national expert on internet safety, where in 2015, he created ProtectYoungEyes.com as a way to equip and encourage parents and students towards responsible use of technology.
Incredible guy, amazing website. We're really looking forward to that one.
Now, we asked a number of students the question, how long could you go without your phone? And so we're going to listen to their responses right now.
How many hours do you think you could go without your phone?
Now, this is a hard one because we were talking about it before the podcast. I would go a very short time. I am somewhat addicted to my phone. I probably could go maybe an hour, 2 hours.
I would say at least an hour. If I'm like doing nothing, I can go at least an hour. But if I'm busy, I'll be fine. I'll be okay.
Right.
So yeah, just an hour at least.
Definitely. If I'm busy, then I don't even think about my phone. But if I'm like doing absolutely nothing,
yeah, you can't go more than an hour.
Yeah. It's just like a nervous.
Yeah, you just got
a bored thing I do, and I just play on my phone or look up nail tutorials or something like that.
How many hours do you think you could go without your phone?
Maybe like, it depends on what I'm doing. So like, you know, if I'm like doing something, I'm fine. But if I'm just like sitting at my house, maybe not even an hour.
Like your phone in general or just like certain things?
Oh, your phone in general, because you can access certain things through your phone. But like the device itself, your phone, not necessarily like calling, but the device that allows you to check social media, allows you to text, allows you to access online, like that phone, the smartphone that I assume you have, how many hours do you think you could go without
being on your phone?
I don't know. My initial reaction to that is, like, not very long. But, like, I'm thinking about it, and I think I could go a while. I mean, it would obviously feel weird at first, but I think I could go a decent amount of time.
Quantify that number. What's a decent amount of number?
I don't know. I'm, like, days, weeks? I don't know.
How many hours do you think you could go without your phone?
I've gone to camps where I didn't have my phone, and so I think obviously not having it, I would go longer. But if I had it with me the whole time, probably not very long.
What would be a number?
Like, 2.
I'd say I'd go about 6 or 7 hours without my phone, because I'd just be paranoid about, oh, I need to check just to make sure that nobody's texting me and make sure that I'm not, like, getting any messages that are important.
Wow, so good stuff there. Jason, you did those interviews. You asked those questions. What was it like sitting with those students, hearing those responses?
It kind of confirmed, but also opened up my eyes to some of their thoughts. Confirming in a sense of their inability to be away from their phones for a long period of time. And I speak for myself as well. So it's not just the students that are saying, I can't be away from my phone for more than an hour. I think, well, I could, but I tend to not. And so it was confirming, but also a realization that we as humans, when we are carrying around this piece of technology, like, it can be addicting.
It's still a fairly new thing in society. I mean, smartphones have been around now, as we record this, about 10 years or so. And I still think it's new for us as adults. You mentioned your experience. I'm the same way. It's hard. I find myself going to my phone all the time if I have a question or a thought, or I remember something. Oh, yeah, I want to look that up or learn about something or listen to something. And in any down moment, you know, of course you get it out, check email, whatever. But it's something where it seems like as adults, speaking again for myself and many youth workers that I know, youth pastors, people working with students, parents, that we tend to be dealing with some of these things in the same way. In other words, like with a lot of issues, we've had more life experience and we're able to guide students because we've been down this path. But I think for a lot of us, myself as an adult, it's tougher because it's still new to me. I'm still trying to figure it out. And that's something that I think is a little bit unique in youth ministry right now.
Right. The smartphone has been out for about 10 years. The students that we interviewed were all in high school. They're considered digital natives. And so they only know about the digital access through a phone that way. Where you even have a student questioning the question I asked, how long could you go without a phone, by going, oh, are you talking about the phone function where I talk to somebody through this device or other functions? And it's just, it was kind of funny to me of going, now let me explain, this entire device is a phone. But to them, they're like, well, I don't use the phone function as much as the other elements of this device. And so it's, to them, they are just a digital native and we are not.
Yeah, I've deleted the phone app off of my phone. I think it's junk. It's worthless.
Just text.
You know, I've thought about this. I've had this conversation. Maybe we've had this offline, but looking back from now in history, as we look back to this age right now, and you think historically some of the greatest breakthroughs and inventions, you know, you got all these different, the printing press, different things. This time may be considered one of the most revolutionary times because of this technology, because of this invention, because it's all wrapped up into one device. Everything that we use to function our daily lives wraps around this device. And I've often thought, will we look back and say that the world really changed, maybe more than any other time in history so far, because of the advent of the smartphone? It's really incredible to think about.
Yeah, you have the invention of the radio and then the television and the internet. And now it's a smartphone that allows you to have access to anywhere, anyone in the world, essentially, being able to connect so quickly and so broadly. And yeah, I agree with you. There's going to be a point in time in history where they look back to 2007 when Steve Jobs brought it out and said, I'm going to introduce you to the iPhone. It is an incredible device, but I think it does change how we interact with people, how we interact with ourselves, how we interact with what we're doing. It's It's fascinating.
It is. We asked students as a part of our research, and if you've been listening to these podcasts, you would know that we did some research. We asked several thousand students their responses, and then adults as well, what they thought students' responses would be. And here's some of the things. We looked at some of this research about technology. We weren't surprised by a lot of it, but some of it caught our attention and interest. So, for example, 82% of students own a smartphone. We're talking about middle schoolers and high schoolers, generally ages 11 or 12 to ages 18, 6th or 7th grade through 12th grade. 82% of them own a smartphone. 47% of students have a smartphone by age 12. So think about that. Almost half of students that when they get a smartphone, they get it by age 12. And in an earlier podcast, I believe it was in our social media series, we talked about all the training that goes into getting a driver's license. Remember that? And
yep.
All the hours and the time you got to put in to do that. And yet, when we give students a smartphone, there's so much responsibility that goes with that. And we just kind of give it almost sometimes on a whim. Now, I've got a 12-year-old at my house, and she thinks she's the only person on planet Earth her age that doesn't yet have a smartphone. But we want to be very specific and strategic about that time. So students are getting these things younger and younger. We also found out that 94% of students got their smartphone before they were 16 years old. So almost all of them before 16.
Right. In that time period where 10 years old to 15 years old, there's new research that adds fuel to our concerns, finding that when kids between the ages of 10 and 15 spend just 1 hour a day on social media, they are more unhappy. And this is from a report called Social Media Use and Children's Well-Being, published by the IZEA Institute of Labor Economics. But spending 1 hour a day chatting on social networks reduces the probability of being completely satisfied with life overall by approximately 14%. They surmise that cyberbullying and an increase of comparison and this decrease in real-life face-to-face activities are likely the culprits of why kids' well-being is adversely affected by the likes of Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook, Mastodon. And of course, this finding is especially troubling given how much time kids spend online and the inevitability of social media being a part of their lives, for the good and the bad. When we say social media as a part of their lives, it's not going away. It's not something that we can talk about and then hope that it's a fad that will eventually disappear like your acid-washed jeans. But it's going to be around. So how do we instruct students to navigate appropriately and navigate with guidelines that will allow them to be led to success?
Yeah, there was recently a student in our state where we live in Michigan just this weekend, 12-year-old young man who committed suicide because of an internet prank. And so we understand there are major ramifications to some of the things we're talking about. And while we may seem biased, like, wow, technology, social media, it's all bad, we don't need to stay away, we're not saying that at all. We're saying we need to understand the world in which we live. Jason, you said it's not going away for sure. And some more research from other places, the Boston Medical Center, recently they released a study on the effects of cell phone use by parents. So if you're listening to this, you're a parent or you're an adult that you connect with parents of students. Here's what they found is that when parents use their phones in front of their children, that their children exhibited behaviors where they wanted to try to get their parents' attention. And the study also found that parents often showed annoyance at children when the parents were interrupted from their phones. Now, I can say this one stings me because I've been guilty of this one. I just get sucked into an article or something, a text, an email, and my kids are there, and it takes discipline. But as adults, we do need to lead the way because our students are watching. They're watching our behaviors, and they're watching what we do. And when we're with them, I think particularly when our kids are young, we need to make sure that we're giving them our full attention. We're fully present when they are there.
Yeah, I agree. It's something that I deal with as a parent as well, with three young boys who are looking to me for attention, and I have done the same thing, responded in annoyance if I'm on the phone. And so I have to be very intentional to put the phone away and keep it away and not always bring it out anytime that a text comes through or anytime that I desire to look up an article or anything that would bring my attention away from them, because I know that they are looking to me to give them attention and assurance of my love. But there's times where I'm on the phone and not using the talking app, with the phone function, what you call, but just kind of going through a different app, searching, looking on Instagram, reading an article, and I want to get through. You know, there's that like stopping point, usually end of an article or the last picture that you saw on Instagram. You want to get to that point. And when the kids start to ask me for things, I'm like, I'm almost done, you know, and you get annoyed and you have to be really disciplined, like you said, to put it away and keep it away, especially when they're watching. And in next segment, we are going to take a look at some guidelines on phone usage, boundaries, just to provide a little bit more assistance on how we navigate technology.
Well, hey, this is Ian from Celebrate Church out in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Just wanted to just kind of give my quick thoughts on NTS Camp. Man, it has been an incredible camp experience for our students. And I know even not just for our students, but for our leaders that go as well. Just to see the life change that happens in those 5 days, four nights at camps, but how it actually transcends. Not just that week, but just into the months and even just the year, how they get home and actually apply then what they've learned there to their life back home and take what they've learned through God's Word and just incorporate that into their life, whether that home, whether that school, in our community. We've seen it just affect so many different things and even just impacting the life of our church through them serving and just growing has just been amazing to hear the stories time and time and time again.
Do you feel like you guys are more productive and engaged with other people when you're not on your phone?
Yes. Yeah, definitely, because you make better connections with people when you don't have that distraction.
I got grounded from my phone for a while one time, so I didn't have it. And I actually didn't have it for, like, about a month. So I was, like, at that time, like, during that time, like, I felt like I was actually, like, communicating with people more effectively. Because, like, even though your phone's there and you just pick it up and call somebody or pick it up and text somebody, like, it was, I felt like it was much better form of communication because you have to go up to that person in person and be like, oh, yeah, I don't have a phone, so I'm sorry I didn't get what you were trying to send me, but, like, you can resolve that in person. And not only that, I felt, like, that disconnect from all these, like, I guess lies and stuff that are put on the internet, so, like, stuff that are, like, tell you to believe one way, like, I felt like that disconnect, and I was like, wow, this feels great because I'm not, it doesn't feel like I'm forced to believe anything, like, and I made the conscious choice to follow God. Like, it was that individual time of, hey, I need to get my stuff together. So it really helped a lot.
Do you think you guys are more productive or more engaging without your phone?
I would say yes. I think just because when we have that phone and we're kind of like in an awkward situation, instead of talking to people we don't know, we just pull out our phones. But when, you know, my phone is turned off or I have it in a different room, you know, on purpose, you know, that forces me to go ahead and talk to people I don't know and to get to know them on a deeper level.
I would think if it's a good idea if every company had a basket on the way into work and everybody put their phone in that basket. And at the end of the day, when you check out, you go and pick up your phone. Because I feel like people spend a lot of time, wasted time on their phones. Like, and a lot of the time, I'll pick up my phone and just look at Instagram. Like, there's nothing in particular I want to do. I just sit there and pick up my phone and scroll through it. It's wasted time. So I feel like we could be a lot more productive if we just, like, you know, like, completely left the phones out of the picture and just focus on what we had to do.
This was eye-opening for me, hearing what this young man said, the student, about how his world changed and how his communication, how his interactions changed. And there's something to be said for that as we think about what life can be like with technology, but how do we harness it so that it doesn't alter our ability to communicate, especially when we think about students and raising them up in a world where they need to have good verbal and visual communication skills.
I think what he said was kind of confirming to our assumptions that if you remove the phone from us, from students, when you remove the phone for an extended period of time, longer than an hour, but an extended period of time, this response is what you're going to get. We found that with our interview with Craig Detweiler, who is a professor at Pepperdine, where you remove somebody from digital exposure, how more productive they become, how more interactive and engaged with other people they become. And that's what he's saying is I felt more engaged with other people. And that's eye-opening. And I believe it kind of confirms some of the assumptions that we have when we're like, man, you're always on the phone, or, you know, you're so glued to the phone or addicted to the phone. You know, whatever we say to students, trying to get them to be aware, self-aware of what the amount of time that they're spending on their phones. But, you know, we even as a ministry, we are talking about creating no phone zones for our camp environments. And this is a pilot idea. We haven't done this before. We actually program a lot around technology in our learning environments. And this is the rallies that students all gather together, and it's a lot of production. And we leverage the phone across multiple mediums in interaction. And so, but we found that it's quite a distraction. It is more of a distraction for the students to be asked to pull out their phones and do something and text us and hashtag stuff. And so our learning environments are much more powerful if the students are not distracted, which is why we want them to experience a no phone zone. And the idea of camp is to get away and fully engage in camp experience. So I was talking to a guy from Switzerland a couple of weeks ago, and I mentioned this idea and he scoffed at me, kind of like, how's that going for you? Like, it was not possible. And my response was, well, we haven't tried it yet. We don't know what it's going to be like, but we just know that what is being done and said and experienced in those learning environments are so powerful because they are experiencing the presence of God. We don't want to put stuff in that environment if it's going to be a distraction. So we're declaring these learning environments as a no phone zone.
Yeah, for NTS camp, which you're talking about, I remember last summer, and we have these all over the country, and I remember standing at the back of the auditorium during our sessions a few times and just seeing different places around the auditorium lit up from the back because I saw not many, but some, you know, in their phones and their screens, tablets, whatever. But I remember one particular moment. We're in one of the most amazing, powerful moments of worship, and God just seemed to be visibly, almost tangibly present in the room, and looking over and seeing a student right at the front playing a game on their phone. And I wanted to just cry. It made me so sad for them because I thought, here's this moment, and they're sitting right there, and they're surrounded by this environment, and yet they're missing this moment because they're distracted. So, Jason, as you're talking about that, I'm thinking that as we're talking in this segment about maybe some rules or guidelines, we're going to offer some suggestions for your ministry, but one of those being the no phone zone. The other is we would ask you to think about is setting boundaries for phone use and being very upfront about that. We've mentioned in our learning environments in NTS camp not having those as no phone zones, but the thing that I think has always embodied youth ministry and hopefully always will is the relational edge that we have going for it. There's something that we have when it comes to relationships that students really can't find any other place like they can in youth ministry, where they have this combination of their peers and caring adults that are involved together in their lives and community. So relationships really are important. And when you think about that, we would suggest and ask you to think about, have you really expressed as clearly as possible the boundaries for phone use when you're in the boundaries of your youth ministry time, whether that be during your weekly meetings, whether that be during your small groups, home groups, trips, etc.? Are you communicating values and are you communicating boundaries? So that's something to think about.
I came across an article that talked about the relationships that we have in work environments, but I think this is also pertaining to adult leader meetings and our interactions and meetings with students. But it said that we miss out on the relationship investment or the small relational deposits into another person's life when we get together in a room for a meeting. And immediately when we are there for that meeting, so for instance, an adult leader meeting, if you have them before your programmed times to go through the program, announcements, any information that you want to communicate, when we come together for a meeting, so in a work environment, in a conference room, we immediately get on our phones. We get on our phones, waiting for that meeting to start. And what happens is we lose out on that relational investment because we aren't asking the questions, the small questions that we would normally ask somebody else in that meeting when we're waiting for it to start. Like, Jeff, how was your vacation? Or, hey, I heard your daughter was sick. How's she doing now? How's she feeling? You know, those little types of questions build into each other relationally, but we eliminate that when we immediately get on our phones and just dink around waiting for the meeting to start. And so are we willing to set boundaries for meetings as well? Kind of like the student at the beginning mentioned that it should be put in a basket or just kept away because it affects our relationships with others.
What we're saying either is don't create an us versus them. So don't go into students and say, hey, you need to do this, and you kind of come at them and come beside them and talk to them about why it's important and showing them how boundaries can help so that they can be engaged. And so, for example, at the beginning of a youth meeting, you might want to say, hey, go into airplane mode during youth ministry time. And I know from time to time I teach youth ministry classes on a collegiate level, and I have certain boundaries in my classroom about that where I say, okay, you've got your laptop out maybe, but these are certain things you're going to do and certain guidelines that I provide for them that really help them be more productive. And they've said to me, other professors don't do that, but I'm grateful that you have set those boundaries because it helps me know what's off limits, what's helpful, what's not. So that's been a good thing.
And by doing so, I think our third point would be to get our parents' buy-in, the parents of these students that we lead, because, you know, there's always going to be a parent who wants to get a hold of their child at any moment of the day. And so when they are under your leadership at the church or wherever you guys are meeting, when pressed with the idea of going dark, where the students can't be reached because their phone is on airplane mode, or they leave it in the cars, or they put it in a basket out in the lobby, I don't know, whatever idea, are we explaining to the parents the benefits of going dark? Tell them that it's important for the environment that they are walking into to focus, to be engaged with what's happening, with the faith that we are trying to lead them just by going dark. And so that hour they go dark, and then they turn it back on when they're waiting for their parents to show up and pick them up.
It reminds me of when one of our daughters went on a missions trip with our youth group. We went to the parent meeting. We're there with all these parents, my wife and I, and we're sitting there, and at the end, they're asking questions, and the guideline for that trip was no cell phones. They didn't want that distraction. They were going to New York City, and I remember one of the parents kind of making a big deal, saying, you know, what if a student gets lost? What if they get separated? What if they're right in the heart of the city and something happens? How do we get a hold of them? How would you get a hold of them? And really asking several follow-up questions, and I remember one of my great friends, the youth pastor's name was Ian. He looked at this person asking the questions, my wife, and said, Arianna, listen, it's going to be okay. She'll be all right without a cell phone. So she was one of those parents.
Somebody's still holding a cell phone. It's called the adult.
That's right. Yeah, it's pretty funny. So that's something to think about. And another thing to think about is just engaging students where they are. Even in the digital world, the thing about what we're doing in youth ministry is we don't obviously want to ignore or shame students for connecting digitally because that's their world. And for most of us, it's our world too. But the bottom line about youth ministry is that we go to their world. We don't want them to just come to our world. But in, as caring adults, whether we be parents or youth workers that are listening to this, we go to their world. That's one of the foundational principles of youth ministry, is you want to go to them. So engage students where they are and don't ignore this part of their life.
We mentioned this particular episode about social media, digital discipleship, the interview with Craig Detweiler, a professor at Pepperdine. I would highly recommend going back into season one, finding that episode, because it was a fascinating interview, and it gives us some clear guidelines on interacting with digital technology, but also discipling students. And it's actually one of the most liked podcasts thus far, based on the notifications that I receive from strangers that they just simply say, like, you know, when you click, I like your episode, I get that notification. And it's the number one liked podcast based on those notifications. And so it's one of those that I think people are looking for. How do we disciple students in this digital world?
Well, it's been a great episode. We hope that this has helped you as you navigate these waters with students in technology. A couple thoughts to think about at the end here, and that is to redeem and engage. We want to redeem this medium. We don't want to ignore it. We want to use it. Some people look at technology and think, it's evil. It's too distracting. There's too many open doors to bad things. But like you said, Jason, it's not going away. And I think our posture as believers and as people that want to bring heaven to earth as followers of Jesus, we want to redeem this medium. And we also want to engage. Engage students where they are in the digital world. Don't ignore that. Don't shame them. But go to where they are. Redeem and engage.
The Thought Factory podcast is brought to you by Never the Same, whose vision is to see new generations transformed in Christ to further the kingdom of God. Learn more at neverthesame.org.